here's a story from The World.
196 days. That's how long NASA astronaut Chris Cassidy spent in outer space this year. He took part in hundreds of experiments at the International Space Station. Cassidy also completed his 10th spacewalk and managed to find some time to record videos of himself playing soccer up there. Then he returned back down to a very different world. We're joined now by astronaut Chris Cassidy. Chris, it's great to have you.
Hi, Carol. Good afternoon. Great to be with you.
Now, I want to jump back to April. At that point, you knew you'd soon be on your way up to the International Space Station. But of course, the coronavirus pandemic was then in its early throes. How did that alter your preparation process?
So ironically enough, 2 years ago, I knew I was going to be in complete quarantine in March and April. I just didn't know that the whole entire world was going to join me there. The real impact was none of my friends or immediate family could come over to enjoy the launch in person. It was just our crew and a few people at the launch pad, and that was it.
Now, this wasn't your first space expedition. You've now spent a total of 378 days in space. That's the fifth highest number of days among U.S. astronauts. What's the experience like of returning back to Earth and reacclimating?
You know, our bodies are amazing things, and I'm convinced that the more you do it, the more your brain and your body just knows exactly how to flip the switch and adjust. When you come back to Earth, there's still a physical aspect to it, like you got to get your balance system used to working again. We have exercise machines up there, so our muscles are strong. They're just not used to working together. But the mental adjustment is instant after you've done it a couple times.
I just have to ask, you said you have exercise equipment up in space, but doesn't the lack of gravity affect how you use the exercise equipment up there?
It certainly does. Instead of putting metal plates on a bar like you would and you're used to at a gym here, we have an air cylinder with a piston in it, and we crank that piston up and down to deliver different amounts of resistance, air pneumatic resistance, and we connect through a series of linkages to the bar. And the feel itself, it's very, very similar. So the engineers did a great job of designing this machine. It's gigantic. It's a beast of a machine, but it works fantastic.
Okay, I just had to ask. So back to reacclimating. I'm wondering if it was different this time because you came back from space and are reacclimating in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, no question about that. I left America in February before coronavirus was really affecting the population. And while we were in space, we were waiting and wondering, just as the rest of the world was, how it was going to play out by the time we came home in October. And we landed right in the thick of it. So opening that hatch and seeing people with masks on and people social distancing at the landing site, we knew intellectually what we were going to experience, but until you're there living it, it was a shock to us.
You were up at the International Space Station for 196 days. What was the goal of this expedition?
The goal of the station is the same throughout all the missions, and we're there to conduct a robust science program that exists now, and there's an international team of researchers that all participate in. And really, anybody can send their experiment up there. And so we activate, monitor, troubleshoot these experiments. And that's probably 60% of our time. And now, with the true goal of the manned space program or space program in general, is to get to Mars, making sure that we've got really, really robust systems that can withstand those harder expeditions.
We're talking with astronaut Chris Cassidy, who spent 196 days in outer space this past year. Now, you weren't up in the space station alone. You traveled there with Ivan Vagner and Anatoly Ivanishin, Russian cosmonauts. What was your relationship like with them?
Oh, we're great friends. Now, the interesting part was I trained for 2 years with two other cosmonauts leading up to the mission. 3 weeks before we were set to lift off, one of them, Nikolai Tikhonov, was walking his dog in the woods outside of Moscow, like he's done hundreds of times, and a tree branch jabbed him in the eyeball severely. So he had to be pulled off the mission, and because it was so close, the other gentleman, the two cosmonauts kind of trained hand in hand as a pair, if you will, like a pilot and co-pilot, and there was not enough time for the other gentleman to train with a new buddy. So they replaced the two guys that I had trained with for 2 years with Ivan and Anatoly. And so we kind of came together as a crew 3 weeks before launch. So I knew them in passing because it's a small community of international space guys. and gals, but I didn't know them on a working level. And we became great friends. They were wonderful guys to be with for 6 months, and I really enjoyed being up there with them.
Now, just how small of a space were you living in up there?
I described the living quarters. They say when you see a PowerPoint slide of the space station that it fits on the footprint of a football field. But that includes the solar arrays and all the external components, which we cannot live in. The living components, I like to describe it as maybe 8 school buses connected in different orientations. So it's bigger than people have in their mind.
Is there really any such thing as downtime when you're up there?
You know, we work really hard to mitigate mistakes. When you're flying an airplane, pilots have a thing called crew rest, and it's there for a reason. When you're fatigued, you're error prone. And therefore, we treat rest and sleep like gold. 8 hours of rest is always there. We generally work from about 7 a.m. to about 7 p.m, and then go to bed around 10. And so those couple of hours in the evening from 7 to 10, I generally like to do things that I can't do on Earth when I'm in space, like take advantage of the window, get pictures of our planet and that sort of thing. So that's what we would do in our downtime.
You mentioned all the pictures you take, and you have a wonderful Instagram account. You made an observation about looking back at Earth and seeing it as this single entity. I wondered if you could paraphrase what you said.
When you're looking down at Earth, it's just this blue ball of peace. I'm from the northeast of the United States, and I know that I-95 is at certain times you can't drive, but everybody's just at a standstill, or there's unrest in different parts of the world, and this year in cities in our own country. But you don't see that from space. You just see this giant blue swirled with white, brown, and greens, and amazing blue in the Bahamas. And it just reminds you that it's one planet that holds 7 billion astronauts. It's our own spaceship, and we got to take care of it and treat it right. And before going to space, I never was a big Earth-conscious person. That just wasn't part of my daily thoughts. But going to space made me much more Earth-conscious. Take care of the planet. The Amazon jungle is burning. You know, that's the lungs of our planet. And carbon emission, all that stuff, I'm much more in tune to now, having seen the planet from a different vantage point.
Astronaut Chris Cassidy returned to Earth this fall after 6 months in outer space. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks so much, Carol. It was great talking with you.